All right. Yay. Well, thanks for being here, ladies. And I really appreciate the cozy vibes tonight. I'm trying to remember who suggested that last time. I think it was it you, Mia? Or maybe, gosh, I can't.
Well, I did suggest it. I was just in bed.
So you were cozy.
And it was Micah.
Micah. Yeah, I was going to say it was Micah.
Let's do that next time. So for some of you, it is winter time and very apt for the coziness. And so I figured let's just go ahead and cozy it in for the evening, probably for the next couple of calls. So tonight's call theme is, I know I say this for every call, but I mean it. Tonight's call theme is super exciting for me. Really though, because as I think all of you know, intuition and guidance and wisdom and knowledge are all part of my obsession and also part of the backbone of life on purpose and a lot of the things that we get to explore together. So I'm super excited to dive more deeply into it with all of you. And we also have a new tribe sister with us tonight, which I'm super grateful for. And we'll do introduction rounds. And Nicole, I will call on you last to introduce yourself so that we can all welcome you in and give you a big, big group hug. So yeah, tonight we're focusing on intuition. We're going to have some fun. I'm going to be sprinkling questions, curiosities, potentially a couple of activities throughout the call, and also some knowledge or wisdom with regard to intuition, things that I've learned along the way or things that I think are really helpful for better understanding this and better or relating with it more intentionally. So let's go ahead and do intros, and we'll do name, location. How are you feeling right now, physiologically, emotionally? Help us tune into you. And then what is your relationship with intuition? And whatever comes up for you around that question, what is your relationship with intuition? We're going to be exploring a lot of like specific nuances around that later, but just kind of as a, so we can all get a sense of where each other are on that topic. So anyone want to volunteer to start the intro round? Going once to Layla.
I was going to volunteer Jazz. Layla did Jazz. Layla did Jazz.
Nice. Double volunteering.
Wherever you guys want me, I'm okay with it. okay. Nice to see you guys again. Nicole, nice to meet you. And Caprice, I think nice to meet you too. If I believe it's our first time. I'm in San Diego, California, and I'm feeling okay today. I have been better since our last call, but today was an so day for me. But I'm also really, really excited because on Thanksgiving I get to see my nephew, and it's just me and my immediate family. So I'm just so excited to see him. He's 2 years old, and during the pandemic, his parents are like just kind of kept to themselves. So it's really special with getting together with him, and I got all these toys for him. I'm so excited. And he's a little 2-year-old Tasmanian, like running around everywhere with curly hair. He's so funny. So I'm definitely excited to see him. And with the, I guess, relationship with authentic self or intuition, right? Intuition. Mm-hmm. It's so weird because like one side of me is like, well, I want to give people a second chance. And sometimes I don't know if my intuition is based off of a fear or an anxiety that I have. And, but I also know that if I'm feeling intuitively a bad vibe from someone, it's probably not completely from paranoia. So I'm trying to separate. For me, I struggle with, okay, well, what's the action that I take to protect myself with my intuition or like excel with my intuition, whatever it is. So I think like separating my intuition from, you know, maybe fear and anxiety, because I have anxiety that I manage, and it's a little difficult, but I love my intuition, but I kind of struggle with making good decisions moving forward with it. I ignore it completely. I'm like, so I don't know if that makes sense to anybody, because I'm just kind of, I didn't think about this question before. So I'm just kind of
good
saying it as I go. Yeah. So I hope it makes sense. Yeah.
Totally. Yeah. So it sounds like you're like exploring and would like to get to know better the distinction between, like, is this my intuition, or is this like fear or paranoia or like anxiety, just being able to hear the signal from the noise a bit more and like trust when you do, so that you can then take action on it.
Yeah, I think that sums it up pretty well. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Especially, yeah. It sounds like with people, like relationships or with people, there's a theme there.
For sure. Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Awesome. Thank you. Who can relate with that part of it? Like the kind of teasing things apart, or just with when it comes to people? Yeah. Yeah. Definitely relatability there for sure. Thank you, Leila.
Thank you.
All right. Jasmine, you have been nominated as hot seat number two.
Gotta love that girl in my far right corner. Gotta love her. So my name's Jasmine Caprice, and Nicole, it's so nice to see you and meet you. Everyone else, good to see you. I am in northwestern New Jersey in a little town called Layton. I'm feeling very grounded tonight. And grateful for my health and the health of my family. We got some difficult news about some second tier like loved ones. And it's just reminding me that you just really can't predict anything. And I'm just so, so grateful to be healthy and that my family's healthy. Intuition. I feel like I'm riding a little bit of a roller coaster on that one. Which is why I'm excited about the call tonight. I've definitely felt the strong guidance, like from that sense that comes from within me. And I really believe that I know that that flow is there all the time and present. And I think I just get frustrated when I'm not noticing it. And I'm not being like with Leila, like being able to tease it apart from the fear or any other emotion that arises. Especially for me, like some version of like shiny object syndrome. I've just got like a fire for life. It feels like
a what?
A fire for life, like
a fire for
in
life.
General. And so like everything I feel like that comes into my path feels like a fucking sign, you know, at times. And it's like a shiny object syndrome, you know, like this afternoon, I was just going to be like a real estate investor and agent, you know, and like, that's just, that was 5 minutes ago. And there are some common threads that I know are my intuition, but there's also a lot that it feels strong, but then is that really just like an emotional like pulse and not really my intuition, and kind of teasing that apart.
Well said. Thanks for sharing that. Who can relate with that? Like the yes buttons are so many and so frequent, and it's like, is this my intuition, or do I just really love life or like feel a yes around everything? Yeah. Uh-huh. Thank you, Jazz. Awesome. Deborah, hello.
I deserve that, right?
Yes, of course.
I'm so sorry, Jazz. So I'm Deborah. I'm in the Bay Area, Dublin, California. And so I had a nap before the session, and I don't like to wake up before I have to wake up. And so I feel like a little cranky in a way, but at the same time, I'm you know, I couldn't wait for the call. So I'm like, yay. So I'm like excited, but also I want to lay back down. But anyway, so I'm feeling fine, I guess, is to sum it up. And my relationship with intuition, I related with both Layla and Jasmine. I trust it. But sometimes I feel like something that I think is intuition. Like Jazz said, I'm learning to separate something that feels like, if I have an intense feeling about something, I take it as a sign to move forward. But it's not necessarily like that doesn't mean that's not what it necessarily means, right? And so I'm learning to differentiate the feelings that I have. And so, but for the most part, I trust my intuition. I'm learning to experience it more and more. And I know as I continue with this journey, I'll be able to fine tune it. And so I think it's a great guide for getting through life. And I haven't always, I'm just going to add this little piece. I felt like when I'm in the midst of stressful periods, I can't always hear it or experience it. And so it's just one more plug for slowing down, being present, and that way I can notice it more. So thank you.
Thank you. You know, it just came to mind, Deborah, is that day that we were wrapping up. This is like a little over a year ago. We were wrapping a call and I was like, okay, here's your action item. And you're like, go out and get a puppy or go out and get a dog. And I was like, sure. Like, I have no idea where that came from. And then you did, and you found Blue. And so that's what just popped in.
He's the light of my life.
Oh, so good. Just boop, right out of nowhere. Caprice, hi. So great to see you. I've missed you.
You did. Okay. Hi, I'm Caprice. See, I am in New Hampshire. And right now I am a little bit tired because I woke up really early today and a little bit anxious because I kind of started a second job that's more like a hobby than a job, but I'm on call tomorrow from 3 a.m. to 3 p.m. So they can call me. They usually don't call that early, but they can. So I'm just a little bit anxious that about getting a call in the middle of the night. About intuition, I'm usually pretty good with good things. If I think something is good, I feel like I can recognize it very well. But if something is not, like if my intuition, or I never know if it's fear or intuition, if something is bad, like, and now with this new job, I meet a lot of people. And every time I'm working with a different person, and a lot of times the first impression, it's not the same. It's wrong. I usually judge people for the first sentence or the first thing that they say in the morning. Mm. And sometimes they're just tired, or it has nothing to do with me. And this is something that I've realized, and I keep putting it like it has nothing to do with me. It's about them. But I just, sometimes I'm scared, and I still not knowing if it was like for bad things. It was like, I don't know if it's the intuition, if I'm just scared. And yeah, it's similar to pretty much what everybody else said too. No.
Yeah. Thank you for speaking to that, for sure. I can relate with that. Can anyone else relate with that experience of like judging so quickly, but not knowing if that's intuitive judgment or if it's just like insecurity or like something else that's going on in the moment that's coloring or filtering? Yeah. That used to be a really big thing, that I would notice too. Good for you for noticing that though, Caprice. Like that's pretty aware of. Yeah. Mia, hey.
Hi, everyone. Welcome, Nicole. I'm in Georgia, and I'm feeling really comfortable right now and warm. Intuition, I feel like I have a very intimate connection with intuition. I feel like it's always guided me my whole life, but especially the last few years, it's just like it really became my life. So yeah, I mean, I'm in love with it, and I'm not saying I always listen or can hear it, because sometimes the right side of the brain, no, the left side, right? I'm always getting it mixed. Yeah, the left side of the brain is always kind of like, but, you know? I'm like, come on, look at the last, you know, all these examples of miracles and intuition-led, you know, miracles. Why do you still doubt, but it's always there? So it's definitely always a battle, but I feel really, yeah, like I'm very connected to it, and I love this topic, so I'm excited to see what we explore tonight. So I think it's kind of like with a partner, you can always get better, you know, like there's never like an end point.
Yeah, beautifully said. Yeah, who else has had a pretty strong relationship with intuition, but still there's the, I don't know, what about this, this, and this? Like the logic, analytical part comes in and yeah, wreaks havoc, no, causes question. Thanks for speaking to that, Mia. We're going to talk about that tonight a little bit too. All right, so welcome, Nicole. Nicole's our newest sister, and she's amazing, and I'm so, so, so grateful to have her with
us. So glad I could make it tonight. I was like, yes, hello, ladies. So I'm looking to make sure I cover. So yeah, I'm Nicole. Nicole, see the whole thing, she, her, hers. All my pronouns. I'm based outside of Atlanta, Georgia. My vibe is just always on. So I'm just, I'm either on or sleep. Like there's usually no middle ground with me. And similarly to Mia, I've been pretty connected. It's intensified over the last few years. I think for me, it's starting to shift from the logical element to actually I'm recognizing I'm a channeler. So what's happening is me recognizing, is that my intuition or higher self, or am I getting guidance from something even beyond that? And so sometimes I'm like, okay, is that coming from here? Is that coming from there? Yeah. So it's more of me just recognizing where the message is coming from and being open to receiving it. A lot, my word for quite a bit of this year is just surrender. So it's just surrendering and being open to whatever comes. And I think that's where I'm really just navigating to, just being like, okay, cool, this is where we're going, and just keep going with the flow. So that's where I am.
Beautiful. Thanks for sharing that. Everybody give Nicole a welcome hug.
Yay. I'm excited. This call's gonna be exciting. Aww, so exciting to dive in and be with you ladies this evening.
Yay. Yeah, the timing is so synchronistic.
So. You're gonna make me choke, because timing with Fawn and I, it's crazy. Like so many synchronicities. So I'm just so grateful to be with you ladies tonight.
Yay, thanks for being with us. So grateful you could be with us. All right, so intuition. Before we dive in, is there any burning question or curiosity that anybody has about this topic or theme? Like something that they're just like, oh, if I could just understand this part of it, or is it, you know, in addition to what you've already shared, or as a clarification to what you've already shared? You feel free to raise your hand or just unmute yourself. Throw anything in. Jess, thank you.
I think it's just like what I said earlier, but if there can be like a touch point or distinction between the differences around like that, like guidance that Nicole just talked about, like, is it coming from here? Is it coming from here? Or is it just this like emotional beat that feels pretty close sometimes, and pretty powerful sometimes.
Hmm. Yeah, thank you. Okay, so more clarity around clarifying what subtleties are.
Yeah. Or yeah. Like, yeah, yeah. And I'm sure it's different for every person, but probably it'd be cool to hear shared experiences. Like when you really felt it, like how did that feel for you? Like, what did you experience? Did you, and I might not have experienced in my body, but you might have, or I don't know, just, yeah.
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 Cool. We're going to do a lot of sharing in a little bit. So you're in luck.
Jazz, I can relate to you too of like the, it's because sometimes I call them like hits, right? Like it's how it shows up. And sometimes it can feel like you're hearing something or you actually can get a visceral response in the body. And it sounds like just being able to decipher between those things and kind of becoming more aware of what it means for you so that you know that there's the difference. Like that's what I'm kind of hearing from you.
Mm-hmm. And if I could add to that... Yeah. Oh, you were about to say something, Jazz? Oh, okay. So for me, I think like I would have this feeling of intensity. For example, if I experience something and I have the need to address it, for example, sometimes I would sit with it for a day or so. And then I felt if I came back to it and it still felt strong, then that means I need to, that meant that I needed to do something about it. But now I'm learning that intense emotion, it's not like you're saying, learning to understand what it means for you. So for me, I've learned that that's not an indicator that I need to move forward. For me, I've learned that when it's peace and calm and all of that, then that's a true experience versus that high energy, visceral experience. So yeah, that nuanced experience is what I'm looking at too.
Very nice. This is, yeah, Caprice.
Is there a way that I can get to some kind of safe place, like mentally safe place from where I can just watch and see if this is an intuition or if it's just bad thoughts? Is there a way that I can just feel like she was saying, like feeling peace so I can watch what is actually happening and judge and without the emotions and the feelings, just right. See it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Kind of like step out of the emotion or step out of the reacting to the thing and almost like kind of zoom out and be able
from
to
outside.
Assess. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you can hear more like objectively.
Yeah. If there is a way to, at this, okay, I don't know if it's intuition or it's fear. So I can think this way or I can stop and go back and think about something else that, and something that's specific. So I can always go there and think about it while I'm in a situation like that.
Mm-hmm. Like a safe, neutral,
or a safe spot, a safe. Yeah, if there is something like that, like
absolutely, that's a great question, and the answer is yes. And I'm certainly happy to speak to that in a little bit as we explore further. That's a really great, because it's one thing to notice that we do better or can hear it clearer in the peace and calm, and then it's another thing to okay, well, how do I access the peace and the calm so that they can hear it more clearly? Cool. Thank you. Great. Great questions, ladies. Contributions. So we'll just segue right into this next discussion piece. So a couple of you have actually kind of pointed to this in what does intuition mean to us, right? And a lot of you who have worked with me for some time know that I'm really big on clarifying definitions, like what I mean by something and what you mean by something could be very similar or they could be very, very different. So especially with something like intuition, where we have kind of a cultural conversation around it that might paint it in a certain way, but then we have this experience that we're pretty sure is intuition, but we're not really. So what I'd like to do is kind of go around again and just popcorn style for anybody who, like, what is intuition? And you can describe this in terms of like, well, it's when this happens, or it is our ability to have information without necessarily knowing why, or like, what is your, I guess, definition personally of it? Or, if, you know, not exact, of course, but how do you define it, or how do you understand it? And then we'll, yeah, I'm curious to hear from you guys on that. Like, what does it mean to you?
Can you repeat the question? Like,
yeah, mm-hmm. Just like when you hear the word intuition, what does that mean to you?
It's more like a feeling that you know what you should be doing or what you should do. Mm-hmm. This is what it would be my, but without logic explanation.
Yeah.
Something like that for me.
Cool. Thank you. Yeah. Anyone else? Jazz.
I was honestly going to say the same thing. I wrote no conversation or thoughts, like no yeah buts. So before the mind comes into it, fleeting at times, because you can, thought comes in very quickly. But yeah, like the before thought, it's kind of hard to describe.
Great. Anyone else?
Layla. Yeah, I think this is aligned a lot with what Jasmine and Caprice are saying, is like, it's just kind of like listening to your heart without your mind disrupting it.
Nice.
I don't know. that's what I think, but I don't know for sure, you know.
Mm. But that's what it means to you.
So far, yeah. Yeah. That's what I came up with. Yeah, listening to your heart. Really, that's all it is, just listening to your heart.
Beautifully said. Yeah, cool. Anybody else? And we're just exploring here. There's no right or wrong, ladies, like, ever, in my opinion, but especially with this. But yeah.
For me, it's just a guidance, a knowing. Yeah. Mm. That's it. Yeah, just some guidance. And sometimes it happens, it doesn't even have to happen internally, like all of a sudden the outer world aligns. Maybe it does happen internally, but it doesn't, it feels like the outer world is reflecting the inner, you know, that inner intuition. So when the external things start to show you the way, that's also, I think, some sort of intuition. That is, because I think, yeah, the internal and external are always connected anyway.
Yeah, I was on the same line of inner knowing, removing of the noise. So, like, as I was just listening, that's like, to me, is there's none of the noise, right? And I guess that's kind of like what Jazz was saying before the mind catches up. There's like no noise, you just know, and then you just do. That the point in which it goes past that, then you start rationalizing, and then that's when the question of, is it the intuition, or is it my thought process, or my limiting beliefs, or my past, or whatever, that start to impact that. So I literally wrote like removal of the noise.
Mm-hmm. Great. Awesome. Thank you. Anyone else? Jazz.
Just a quick follow-up question to what Nicole just said. Mm-hmm. Because, like, I like have felt the before the mind part of that. And then the doing like never feels like before the thought. It feels like I had it, but then the mind catches up and I have to do through the thought, like feel the fear and do it anyways. So I'd be curious to like, I don't know what that feels like. Or like maybe it's been true and I just haven't noticed it, but I always feel like my thought catches up, whether it's positive and in alignment with the doing or whether it's in resistance to it. But I always, and like, it always feels like there's thinking that happens so quickly right after that moment of clarity. So I think that was really.
And does the thinking cool. then influence or impact the doing, or the thinking's happening and then the doing is doing and they're like kind of independent?
I don't know, at the same time as we're having this, yeah, like at the same time as we're having this conversation, I'm trying to think of specific examples that I can like relate. So yeah, I don't know. Let me think on that.
Cool. Yeah. Great. Yeah. So part of what is really fun about this, kind of this intangible access we have as human beings to our unconscious, subconscious, other intelligences, is teasing apart, like really slowing things down. Sometimes I think of it as like an old VHS tape. This is so random, but we used to have this VHS player when I was a kid, and there was like an extra slow mode on it, and we would slow stuff down really slow. And with this kind of stuff, I think about it like that, where it's like, what's being conflated, right? Like what associations might be being made that actually don't have anything to do with each other, but it sure seems like they do. And then which things are happening simultaneously that actually are like, I don't know, causal or connected or linked together. So that's a, you know, a really great example of, okay, I feel the hit, the intuitive hit come in before thought. That's like, and then there's like a doing piece before that, before the thought, but then the thought comes in and then I do something. And it's like, how related is the thinking and the doing or the not doing or not, right? So super cool. Anybody else? What does intuition mean to you?
Can I just add something really quick that kind of came to mind? That, so there was like two things that I just thought about this, and I'm sure fine you're gonna get to it, but it's like building the muscle. Mm-hmm. Because it's like, if it's something that's just you're not used to, right, it's gonna automatically go to the conscious and then all the other things. But the other thing that came to me that was interesting, it's like it no longer becomes a foreigner. So perhaps like using your intuition is almost like a foreigner, which is like unknown, so you automatically don't trust it. It's not your friend per se, right? So perhaps like just even that is part of it. I know particularly that was for me, like it just felt awkward. I was like, this can't be real. I can't trust myself. Like just something would naturally happen. Like I have to go through the logic. That's how we were reinforced. So I would automatically go through that. Like that doesn't make any sense that I would just get this information. I'm just supposed to run with it. Like it's mm-hmm. supposed to go through the logic filter. So it was very foreign, right? But then when I made it my friend, I was like, okay, cool, I'm going to roll with it, right? So those two things just automatically came up for me mm-hmm. when I was just thinking about what you were saying.
Yes, 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 and yes. Yeah, great noticing. Totally, totally. That's, yes, we will be getting to that. And I love that you're kind of noticing as we reflect on this, kind of noticing what, the path of hearing it more clearly and relating to it with more trust versus like, you know, not really being familiar with it or not, you know, noticing it. This is great. Yeah. Wonderful. Okay, cool. So it sounds like there's, not that there has to be, but it does sound like there's quite a bit of overlap in terms of when we hear the word intuition, we all kind of at least have a common denominator factor of it kind of comes out of nowhere as a packet of information, and it's there's something kind of directive about it, like either do a thing or not do a thing, or like just notice that thing over there. There's like something that seems to be giving us knowledge or information or guidance without us kind of spontaneously, right? Or without us like crunching it all cognitively. And sometimes it's really clear, or sometimes it's clear, but it's also like woven into some of their feelings or emotions or tendencies or stimuli that have us like not really sure what's going on. Like, is it intuition or is it not? But I think the part that I'm hearing that we're all pretty clear about, or that we all relate to it as, is being kind of this like spontaneous aspect, the spontaneous thing that kind of pops into our selves, into our minds or our bodies. Cool. So I'm going to, I wasn't able to make a workbook. We're in process of making a workbook for the new module 5 for LFP, which is super exciting. So I kind of pulled some stuff from that and put it in a Google Doc. It's not sexy, so I'm not going to screen share like I usually do, but I am going to read just a couple of things from what the, some of the things that really, I think, articulate, put words to something that is just kind of intrinsically difficult to put words to, as we've been talking about. So, all right, here's a few things. Intuition, the ability to understand something immediately without the need for conscious reasoning, a thing one knows or considers likely from instinctive feeling rather than conscious reasoning, a form of knowledge that appears in consciousness without obvious deliberation, a natural ability or power that makes it possible to know something without any proof or evidence, direct perception of truth or fact, the ability to know something without analytic reasoning, bridging the gap between the conscious and the non-conscious minds. So, and I'll share this with you ladies afterward. So yeah, all of those kind of spoke to, you know, flavors of what we've been discussing here, where it's like that knowing piece, and then without logic or reason, or just, it's just like an immediate knowing. I really like the direct perception of truth or fact. Like, that's pretty amazing. When I hear that, I'm like, whoa, how do we do that? That's so cool. So those are some like textbook definitions. And I'm going to talk about, like, as far as I understand it and have researched it and experienced it, like what it actually is though, because those are all kind of describing how, like, what's happening in the moment, but not necessarily what it is. So before I get to that though, I'd love to open up the circle again and hear anything that hasn't been shared yet, or anything that comes up for you around how does it show up in for you, within you, like any other indicators. Deborah.
I'm like bursting here because I was like, are we going to speak to this before we move on? If not, I'm going to raise my hand and ask if I can. So that intuition coming out. So two things stood out to me. One was instinctive, and the second one was natural. And I like both of those descriptions because it reminds me that it's part of me. Like, it's not some foreign object, so to speak, right? And so I just love that. It's almost empowering in a way, you know? It's like, it's this piece of me that's there, and it's there to help. And so, yeah, that's the way we're made. So I just wanted to say that, natural and instinctive.
Love that. Yeah, that's great. What I love this flavor around the empowering. What is it that feels empowering about it? Anything come up around that?
To me, it takes away that battle that we talked about. Do I follow it? Do I not? Is this real? Is it not? Like, just trusting that, because I feel like, what, you know, people, life is made to like we're naturally made to thrive, basically, like to keep going. Like we're not going to do anything that's going to kill us, so to speak, right? And so I feel like that description just reminds me that it's that piece of me that's there to keep me going. It's right, if that makes sense, right? Yeah, so it's just that innate part of us that will, you know, keep life moving forward, so to speak.
Mm.
Yeah. Mm. So I can trust it. Like I don't have to like question it. Yeah.
Nice. Yeah. Oh, thank you for that distinction. This isn't something I thought I was going to bring in here, but and tell me if this is kind of connected, Deborah, to what you're sharing. I think in our culture, our very scientific Western logical culture, there's a stigma around intuition, like the word intuition or using your intuition. It's like, oh, that's some woo-woo shit over there. You know, like it's not, we're not, it's almost like shamed, right? Like kind of generally speaking in the cultural conversation. And so this experience that we have, we doubt it. We're like, oh, well, that's not logical. Like Nicole was saying, like, that doesn't make sense. That, I don't know why I would do that. And what's coming up for me right now is this kind of natural association with like shame and acting on intuition. Like, oh, I'm not being logical. Like how stupid of me, like why, you know, whatever, it's kind of exaggerated. But in this piece around it being empowering, it's almost like, oh no, this is natural. This is instinctive. This isn't some like me just listening to the wind or something. Not to say that's bad, but it's actually like a real thing, right? It's like actually inbuilt that you can trust. Perfect. Is that related at all?
That's exactly what I was trying to express. Mm-hmm. Yes. It's like if you act, if you say that you're acting on it, people will treat you differently. Like, what's wrong with her? That's nice. You're like, yeah, it's just like, you can't talk about it, right? And mm-hmm. So, yeah. But it's not, yeah, it's just part of us.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks for calling that out. Yeah. Caprice.
I think it's like my logic side asking, but where does it come from?
Ladies, thoughts? I'm going to get to this, but I want to know what you ladies know about this or feel. Where does it come from? Like, where does the information come from, like, before it gets to us?
The actual, like, what makes me, if it's not a memory or it's something that happened in the past. So if it's not that, where is it coming from?
Mm-hmm.
Just either the bad feeling or the good feeling.
Yeah, great question.
I want to make sure I understand. Are you asking where intuition itself comes from? Or how do you decipher it?
No, where does
it come from?
Okay.
Like, my understanding, and I think like you talk about this like instinct, like I think of animals, like we're still animals in some way, right? And we might be more evolved. So I think of an animal that has instinct to know when they're in a safe space or at harm, or even when we think of, if we want to think of humans, like babies who naturally gravitate towards people, or you see small children, like they can sense that adult is probably not cool, or like this natural instinctive thing that we have to actually survive. Like we actually have that ability. And I think even our ancestors, that's how they were able to maneuver and survive, because they were actually going off instinct, how their body was feeling, how they were adjusting, those types of things. It's kind of how I look at it. And I think similarly, what Fawn was saying is we've been conditioned so much to go against that, particularly as we age, that we lose sight of it because everything has to be logical or proven. And like what was profound for me that I put the box around was no proof or evidence. I have nothing to prove. We come from an environment that you have to prove everything, right? You have to prove your worth. You have to prove your value. You have to have science behind something or whatever. And so I just think it actually starts to, that muscle, right, starts to diminish or be diluted. And so that's why I feel like it's a challenge. But like, that's my understanding from it, that it's a natural trait that we have that we're then conditioned and programmed not to listen to. Mm-hmm. And like you asked about like your good and bad beliefs, that's all from programming of literally what's good, what's bad, what feelings are good, what feelings are bad, what direction you go, left or right. That's literally conditioning and programming tied to your beliefs that have you question when you just feel something and you don't have an answer to it. Mm-hmm. So I think that's what's so difficult is we have so much conditioning around us having to use logic for everything that we question anytime we feel something. And I think it was, well, it was talk about your heart. It was like, don't listen to your heart. Don't listen to the palpitation in your heart. Don't listen to your gut. Like, don't listen to anything your body is saying. Just go with what your brain's, you know, like, and we've all been there where, so let me just ask you this, Caprice. Have you ever been like driving and you felt like you should go say right? But logically you're like, I should make that left. And then you make the left and you're like, damn it, I should have gone right. Or you were in a situation where you're like, I knew I felt it that I shouldn't talk to so-and-so. And logically you're like, they're going to be good for my career or whatever. Like you make up all this logical stuff and then you find out they're like, ugh, and you're like, I knew it. That's your intuition. Your brain took over, but your intuition, and we always do it after the fact. We're like, I felt, I knew, like you say, I knew, but it was like, I felt it. Like you go back and you're like, oh, I apologize. I went on a little bit of a tangent, but I was trying to maybe find like some realistic examples to ground what you were asking.
That's great. Thank you, Nicole. Was that helpful, Caprice? What's coming up for you?
Yeah, I really like the thing when I'm driving, really, I'm driving. And I think, I should turn here. And then, but the GPS says here, and then like, it changed. And then I have to turn and turn. Yeah. But I still not, but I think it's like my logic side, yeah, trying to explain something that is not explainable, maybe logically.
Yep. But, right. It doesn't have a reference point for like, where's this coming from? I'm not sure. So it just like, doesn't listen to it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Awesome. This is great. Great. Like question. And yes, Nicole, that is absolutely a part of our intuitive, system for sure. So yeah, Deborah.
So two things came up. One is like, I can relate to Caprice, you know, feeling that like, where is it located? You know what I'm saying? Like we know our heart is here or our liver's there. Where's intuition, right? But because it's natural, it's like we can't, like your heart is beating right now and you're not making it beat. That's kind of the way intuition is. It's like almost like a life force, I guess, in a way. But so I'm not going to go down that road because I know Fawn will have that real answer. But that's what I was thinking. Like, I relate to you feeling like, but where is it? Is it coming from God in the sky or whatever, right? But the other piece is what Nicole talked about. I just wanted to make an adjustment about the older we get. I feel like for me, the older I get, the less I listen to the world and the more I listen to me, right? And so that may be different for some people, but I'm like, screw that. I'm trusting myself and I'm moving forward. So, yeah.
Thank you, Deborah. Yeah. Beautiful. All right. This is a great discussion. I'm like, whew. So there's some question around where does it come from? What is it? Where does it come from? And the difficulty or the lack of logical explanation or attribution to that, then just discount it. Like, I don't understand it. I don't know. So it's just, it's not a thing. It's not real. Like, we're delusional. This is just our delusional little brain doing whatever it does. Yeah. And then we shut it down. So, well, let's come back to the question of anybody else who has a share around when it does, when you have felt it, or you do, like, how do you know when it's happening? What is your experience of it? If there's any other thing else that comes up for you, ladies. Jasmine.
So I notice it the most with other people when I'm like connecting with other people. And I think that it's because it's in real time and there's not the opportunity for that conscious thought process. And as far as like the hit or the knowing, or you're in a conversation and something in the way that you're connecting with that person tells you to find silence or lend a hand or point out that you notice like some incongruence with what they're saying and what they're doing, or some version of that that seems so clear, like, or at least to me, like a spark, right? But I think it's because it's in real time. I find that when I'm like grasping for examples of when I've experienced this, it's a lot of the times for me, like external, with like another connection to a person. And I think that the consistency that I found in like trying to reflect back on that is just that it's real time. Other than like on a soccer pitch, or like in a very like intensely visceral, like physical experience, like labor or something, is when I feel it like the most sensitivity towards it, or the most intimate with it. And I just love, I have to touch on the conversation before, around like the cultural stigma, because I literally just read an article about like how intuition is so woo-woo in like the, especially like the business, like finance space, that, it's like, it's told in presentations and like meetings to like rephrase and just call it like your gut. Like, just say, like, go with your gut. But you really shouldn't, like, use that word. Intelligence, wisdom, you know, like, knowing, like, that's too woo-woo. Right. And the closest you can get it in, like, the world of logic is go with your gut. It's the same thing. So just don't say the other words. But I had to, like, bring that up because we were just talking about that. And then to Caprice, to, like, your question, I, like, really understand and, like, resonate with that, because I've been, like, but where? And I think, like, especially a lot of the work with Michael Neal, too, like, has, like, made me think about this. But I really believe that, like, we're all like just these little like vibrations. And like, when I feel an intuitive hit, like to turn right, it's because like my physical space is literally connecting to that like physical space of that right turn. It sounds bananas, but like my molecules are like vibrating in the same space and they are like gravitating that way. But instead I like look at the GPS. So I just like really believe in like the, whatever you want to call it, energy of the universe. We're like, matter and energy is all we got here, people. So it's our matter. What'd you say?
Actually only energy, because matter is energy.
It, okay. Fair, exactly. Exactly. Yeah.
I'm just splitting hairs here. Sorry.
I love it. That's exactly it though. So if you like, there's no other place it can come from, because all that exists is energy. So that's where I think it comes from. Just my energy like vibrating with that like right turn, or that person, or that, you know, those words on that screen or whatever. Anyways, yeah.
Thanks, Jazz. My spiritual mama bear right now is very proud. Awesome, awesome. Okay, so for the sake of time, I'm going to kind of cruise. Oh, Mia, please. Yes.
I was going to say to what Caprice was talking about. So maybe, because I think it's kind of like, you know, like if people connect with God, like how do we know if there's a God? No, you'll never see a God, right? But so many people believe. So maybe the question isn't where is intuition, but just use it if it helps you. You know what I mean? Kind of like electricity. Like we don't know where it's coming from. We can't touch it, but we know how to switch the light on. And we use it because it's helpful to our daily lives. So like, I feel like trying to get to the bottom of like, where exactly is it a location? Because obviously it's not a location. So if the mind, I think it's something the mind will never be able to grasp. So if the mind is asking the question, it to me, it almost doesn't matter what the answer is, because then you're trying to answer it with the mind when it's something that's completely, it's like vibrating on a different level. You know, the mind will never be able to tap into that intuitive space. So it could never give you the correct answer. That's kind of, and just, I wanted to share this. I was listening to two astrologers this week, and just one thing they were talking about was so interesting. They were talking, they were saying, well, because right now, like, there's so much going on in the world, all these institutions, all these secrets and darkness coming to light, right? It seems like a lot of things are crumbling. And maybe the financial market too. I mean, who knows? But so they were saying, you know, in the future, our currencies are not going to be what we know, like the US dollar, the euro, but our future currency will be our frequency. And when I heard that, I was like, oh my God, that's so amazing. I mean, they were more specific, like, oh, like, you know, if you go into your house, like it's your frequency that matches, that lets you unlock the door, blah, blah, blah. But not in a high tech way, but in a more like humans rising up to the fifth dimension. I mean, I don't want to get all woo on you. But it kind of triggered this thought in me, well, like, what they're talking about, that literal, you know, currency becoming our frequency, our frequency becoming the currency. But actually, maybe that's always been the way, you know, that our frequency is our currency. Even now, it's just like right now, because money is so kind of like so prevalent and so used that we don't even see it. But our frequencies create our realities. So on a kind of like, it's almost like it doesn't matter. For me, I think, yeah, if our frequency is creating our reality, then that is the currency, you know, like of what kind of life we're creating for ourselves. And it's not measured by like the money exchange, you know, like, yeah. I don't know if that made any sense. But...
That's some deep, profound wisdom there, Mia.
It's not from me. I'm just... passing on what I heard, I'm like, oh, frequency, currency, yay.
Yay, you're so awesome.
Maybe I can get my flower farm after all. I just need to
tune into it. So actually, yes. Yes to everything everyone shared, like, you know, insofar as like, what are we? What is it? What's going on here? These are all really like, descriptions, different ways of describing what's happening, and so that this is really, really fun. All right, anybody else want to, is anything else coming up for around like what is it or how it shows up for you before we move on to the next section? Okay, cool. All right, this is really fun. Like, this is, I feel like we're exploring which I guess we are, like some like mystical, magical thing. And we're like, we don't know what it is, but we feel it and we hear it. But what the hell, where is it coming from? Deborah, yeah.
Maybe just one thing. Like Jazz mentioned how she feels more in tune with it when she's with other people. Mm-hmm. And I actually feel the opposite. I feel like I'm more aligned with myself when I'm alone, and I feel like when I'm around other people, then that's when I kind of get, I start to question things, or is this what, you know? And so I wonder in terms of the frequency, cause I don't know anything about that, Jazz. You guys, you and me are like right over my head, but I'm not there yet on the journey. And so I'm just wondering about that. So, you know, just a noticing that I feel like I'm more in tune with it when I'm by myself. Mm. And so are there other frequencies around me when I'm alone? No.
Always. No, that's a great noticing, Deborah. Like, so what helps jazz stay or like listen for it or tune into it is presence with somebody else in the moment. I'm paraphrasing, but that like engaged, I'm with them. And then the intuition is like coming in and there's the filter isn't stopping it. So it's coming in or there's like the listening is more available for it when there's somebody else. Like it's keeping my sense of this, and I'm extrapolating here. Let me know if this is accurate, Jazz. But the being engaged part of it, that like your attention is with them and so present with them that you can hear without that the like the noise that Nicole was, the noise getting in the way. Whereas with Deborah, when you're around other people, maybe that's like there's noise there, or when you're talking to someone else, there's like stuff going on. But when you're with yourself, you're able to tune in and hear it more clearly.
Yes, it's more clear.
Check out.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. Yeah, great noticings. This is like a huge part of coach training, as those of any of you who have trained are training with me, is like the listening piece, right? It's like active listening. Active listening is hilarious though, because it's like, it's kind of an oxymoron in and of itself, but like the art of being in presence with somebody else, the art of listening, period. And that like attunement for a lot of people is so challenging, especially at first, because we're so used to being in our heads. We're so used to being like, well, what am I going to say? Oh, she's talking about this thing. I remember that one time that I went to the store and like, there's just all of this like, going on when we're having a conversation with somebody else. And so like, it's really cool to learn how to like untrain that and like learn how to be so present that nothing else exists. It's just like, oh, that's where I'm at with all of you when we're just kidding. Most of the time, man. Okay, so let's talk about okay, I'm gonna talk about like what it is. I'm like holding that off a little bit more. I'm just loving the discussions. I would love to hear any examples of, we'll start with any examples of when you had intuition, you had an intuitive hit, you acted on it, listened to it, acted on it, and it turned out to be like really important information in a, I guess, beneficial way. Anybody has anything? Layla, yeah, and then Caprice.
So I just want to make sure I understand that there's, I think you're asking for a scenario where your intuition kicked in and it was a very important piece of information. Is that right?
And you listened to it and acted on it and it turned out like, oh, thank God I listened to my intuition.
Yeah. So I had, and I think I told you about this, Fawn. This was back in, I think, 2017. Mm-hmm. There was someone, so like, I think most of you know, because I talk about it all the time, but for the people who I'm meeting today, like, I am an avid like jujitsu martial artist. Like I love jujitsu. I haven't been going as much since the pandemic, but you know, in those environments, it's really important to be in a place where you are in an environment where you trust, and you have to listen to your intuition, because there's not a lot of time where you can waste not on your intuition, because you're learning how to defend yourself, and it's really important to be with people you trust. And there was someone at the school where I saw him, and I swear I had such a bad feeling about him. Like as soon as I see him, and I everything in me just felt so uncomfortable, and I felt a weird threat there. And I didn't have a lot of interactions with this person, but my logic was like, Layla, like, you got to give people a second chance. You might be jumping to conclusions. Sometimes you do this, and I do. Sometimes I jump to conclusions and I'm wrong. And I definitely don't want to let that get in the way of an individual who has good intentions. I don't want to disrupt their life with my judgments. And then I had an interaction with this person. It was an older gentleman, and he was very, not only aggressive, but just very inappropriate with me. And, I thought about it for a little bit, and I started telling people, first thing, my husband, and then the next thing, a couple women at the school. And I found out that they had a similar interaction with him. And when I told after a lot of thought and time, I talked to the head instructor and the owner of the school, and he was like, I had a bad feeling about him, you know. And I started talking to other people. They were like, I knew it. They were like, I knew it. And they all had a weird feeling about him. And on top of that, a few other women felt unsafe around this person. And that was the biggest thing for me, and my teacher asked me straight up, he said, do you feel safe around him? And I said, no. And then the next thing I did was, my logic was like, hey, if I'm wrong, I don't want, you know. And then he just stopped me. He was like, no, it's done. And he very politely set a boundary with this person. And, you know, I mean, no one was trying to be hurtful or mean, but they had to set a boundary, and he wasn't a member of that school anymore. But when he asked me if I felt safe, I felt weird about it, because my intuition said, no, I don't. Mm-hmm. But then, like, what if this guy is, you know, he means well. But then I thought about it more later. I said, a lot of other women and men, not just women, men having a bad feeling about him, and women feeling threatened by him or unsafe. And if I had not listened to my intuition, and the teacher had chosen to keep this person around where, like, he didn't, you know, keep this person around, maybe he would have really done something worse with someone else. So I think that was an example. I hope I'm not rambling too much, but I think that was a big example for me where, you know, I listened to my intuition, and then I really considered my community around me. It was bigger than me. And it was a realization that, like, you know, sometimes if you have a gut feeling, you're not just, it's not just about you, it's about other people. Yeah.
Thank you for sharing that.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah.
That's a really, I mean, that is something that I think we as like mindful human beings, we want to make sure, or at least do our best to notice when we might be prematurely evaluating somebody or judging them without having any evidence or reason. We want to be open-minded. We want to be compassionate. We want to be, you know, equal. And so the value for that can, I think, when an intuitive situation like this comes up, like what you're sharing here, we're so afraid of, like, going against that value and potentially, like, you know, like, maybe hurting someone, like, maybe someone's hurt by that, or maybe some consequence happens as a result of our judgment of them, that we kind of get to this stalemate within ourselves, at least, you know, in my experience, where it's like, I really feel like something's going on here. Something's wonky, but I don't know why. And I don't have any evidence. And I, like you're saying, right? Like, I don't want to just cause a ruckus, you know, for no reason. Yeah. And so I just wanted, like, I appreciate that we have the value of wanting to see everybody with kind of like a neutral benefit of the doubt. Right. And like, assume the best of people. I think that's beautiful. I think that's so, like, such a part of the healing that's happening on the planet. And the intuitive part is something that like with this Layla, and I may have had you do this exercise, but kind of mm-hmm. reflecting on it, that like kind of memorizing what that feeling felt like. So if it happens again, you're like, oh, it's that thing. Right. And there's less of a like, ooh, deliberation, or like more of an awareness of what might be going on there, informing it. So yeah, thank you for sharing that. I mean, that's a great example.
Yeah. Anyone else? Yeah, thank you.
Yeah. Example of when you felt or had an intuitive nudge or intuition came in and you're like, thank God I listened to that.
So this one is, I was paying attention to what she was saying. And then like, it's my second language. So I have this excuse. I had to recreate everything in my head. So, there's a town close by, and then that I really like the town, and I really wanted to have a property there. And I saw one apartment for sale, and I put an offer in an amount that was way more than what they were asking for. And then I got scared, and then I went there. But before I went there, and then I felt like the energy in the place is just, I go there and I feel great. Like, I feel like this is the right decision. This is the thing that I have to do. And so we closed, and it's the same. And I bought the property to rent it. So, and then I didn't rent it yet, but I went there today, and it was the same feeling. It was like, I love it. That was the best decision. I'm so happy that I did it. But I was so scared. Like when I put the offer, when they say, yeah, they said yes, I was like, oh, maybe I'm offering too much because they accepted. So maybe I should have offered like less. And so I think that's the good feeling. And, this is one that I feel like intuition, like I knew how much I should offer to get the place, because I knew there was more people offering, there's more offers on the table. And I was scared, but at the same time, there's this good feeling, this good sensation that I feel every time I go there. Mm. So, yeah, I think it's my example.
Yeah, that's amazing. Congratulations. That's so exciting. Yeah. Yes. And that feeling, it's like, it's undeniable, right? And like you go back and it's still there, and there's, it's a source of information. It's like, yeah, I still really feel good about this, even though the logical part may have been trying to like, well, I don't know, what did you do? That's wonderful. Caprice, that's a really great example. Yeah. Nice. Okay. Anybody have an example of when you heard or felt your intuition, but you didn't act on it, or you maybe acted in opposition, or like chose the logical way and you looked back and you were like, I should have just followed my intuition.
Okay, I feel like I'm in the counter space today. Like everything is, yeah, I relate to that, but for me, it's the opposite.
Yeah, bring it up.
Because I'm glad you brought that in, because I was waiting to talk about, I guess, the same thing. Like, well, actually, no, it's not the same thing. So I'm going to give you an example of what you just asked for. But what was on my mind when I was listening to Layla's story was, what about the times we thought we were listening to our intuition and it didn't turn out so good? Mm-hmm. Right. And so what did that mean? And because I'm so new on the journey, like I probably could start keeping a little list of, I thought it was intuition, was all right. You know, right. But just thinking generally about it, I feel like I've had moments where I thought I knew and then it wasn't. Right. So then did I hear it wrong? Or so anyway, I kind of want to explore that. But your example about not following your intuition was my last employment. And I'm going to be very general because these things are recorded. And so when I met my supervisor during the, I think it was maybe even the second round of interviews, I had this gut feeling like, this is not going to work out. So, but I kept thinking like that person, like even though I'm feeling this way, like if I were that person, I wouldn't hire me if I felt like this is not going to be a good relationship, if that makes sense, right? Like it's somebody you know you can work with. So even though I was feeling like, I don't know, I trusted that she would, and I said to she, I didn't mean to say she or he, but whatever. But I was feeling like that person wouldn't select me if they had that same thought, right? Like, I don't know if this is a good good working relationship, right? You just kind of know. And so, but I didn't trust my intuition. I accepted the job offer because I kept thinking, oh, you know, I guess this person thinks we can work together, right? And it was horrible. And so, yeah, that's my example. Hello. Thank you. Here I am, 2 years later, still recovering from the trauma. No.
Oh, what? You're like...
No, I'm healing. I'm like, I am almost healed. Okay.
Thank you for sharing that. Yeah. So it's like kind of unpacking that a little bit. Like you had an intuitive sense of like something, not so much, but... And this is where self-trust comes in, and I'm going to get to this in a second, but spoiler alert, where if we have a tendency to put others on, like, up before ourselves, or to, like, question ourselves a lot and kind of put other people in the power seat, or the, for me, it was pedestalization, and just kind of our worthiness, our self-trust, if that's playing out, and I'm curious to see if this resonates, Deborah, we can feel the intuition, but if it's like, well, but if they think it's okay, then like, they're probably right. Like I'm probably just like, you know, tripping. Does that resonate?
That's exactly what it was. And I knew I should have listened.
Yeah. Yeah. Who can relate with that? Like that, like interpersonal part where we're like not trusting ourselves. We're trusting someone more than we're trusting ourselves. Yeah.
Somebody can really, really relate.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do I now put my feet into the video? I'm running out.
Yeah. Thank you. Nicole, I forgot to tell you. I'm sorry. So on these calls, when we relate, if there's like a relatability or something, someone's sharing something we relate with, we do the spirit fingers. And if it's like what you were just doing, if it's like, oh my God, that's me. Get wild with it. Yeah, awesome. Anybody else?
I would just add just really quickly, just the fact around, like you said, the putting people on a pedestal or the power seat or not seeing, I find it a lot when it was like people that I saw as advisors or had more experience, right? And then even when sometimes with advice where you already felt like, not really, or sometimes you also sense that they may be having a vision for you that was their vision, not yours, but you're like, they know more, right? That's the logical part. They know more. Our past trauma said that we don't know, right? Like that's where all the beliefs. So I just wanted to acknowledge that, like when you shared that and Deborah, just this point of like kind of giving the power to the other person to decipher on our behalf, right? To discern like, well, they're feeling it, you know, they feel it, then we know. That was something part of my evolution of like, if I'm feeling it, it's because I'm feeling it and it's for me, but I totally can relate to what you were just sharing.
So and to hear it articulated, it sounds insane, right? Why would you do that?
It doesn't though. That's why I say like, if we think about like, just the conditioning, like that's so much of what I'm not going to speak for others, but what we were taught is right, there is the guru or there is the supervisor, there is the manager, and they'll have this deciphering or discernment that we're growing into or something. And we forget that like, no, we know ourselves better than anybody. And why am I ignoring what I'm feeling? And they're so like, you're super, like, they're just supposed to feel on my behalf. You're like, what?
Yeah.
To your point, after you're like, well, how would she feel for me? You know? So, but I just think it's, I mean, that's what we're so conditioned to do. Like, that's what's so cool about learning this is just recognizing that we were conditioned the opposite way.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, and you're like, oh, cool, I can go a different direction. Let's go that direction.
Yeah. Thank you, Nicole. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. And to add to that, too, and I kind of spoke to this earlier, but again, it's coming up around the judgment around getting things wrong. Like, heaven fucking forbid we follow our intuition and it not be the thing that like immediately appears to be beneficial for us, right? Like, society just like crush those who are wrong, you know? Like, failure is like the worst. First of all, failure exists and it's the worst thing a human being can possibly fall prey, you know, like do, like shame. So it's like, it's the programming of like, it's just programming our natural connection with wisdom out of us and getting things wrong, punish, you know, like, oh, you got it wrong. About you anymore. Right. And so we internalize that like, okay, well, I'm getting this intuitive hit right now, but it doesn't make sense. I don't know. Like, and if I act on this and I'm wrong about it, oh man, like, oh,
then all intuition is wrong, right? Like,
then all intuition is wrong and I am wrong and I am a failure. So it's kind of like, kind of the way it feels sometimes, right? Like that pressure. It's pretty intense. Like, there's a lot at stake there. But yeah.
I definitely have that in my life from so many directions, professionally, in my family, my culture, like where I, the place I grew up in. And, you know, my favorite, my best leaders, mentors, or whoever, whatever you want to call it, are the ones that tell me to follow my own path, you know? you know, I have, yeah, my favorite people that I connect with that I want to, that are like, I guess, mentors in some way to me, or that I feel a student of, they're always inviting me to make the best decisions for myself, not telling me what to do. And that includes, excuse me, let me backtrack. And I've realized, I think from talking with everyone, is that a lot of people that I have looked up to, you know, or wanted to be more like, were telling, growing up, not so much now, but growing up, were people that said like, well, you shouldn't do this, you should do this. And they seem supportive. And I think most of the time in their mind that they, it's depending on the person, but I think most of the time in their mind, they probably felt that they were giving the best advice and it was coming from a good place. But it didn't, what aligns with me is people who encourage me to figure out who I am and follow my path. And that's a very small number. And it's also a small number of people that support that. And it's not their fault. They're not, I don't think they mean to be mean. I just think that not, especially in US culture, is, I think we're taught to think, be aligned with our heads and not with our hearts and our bodies. So I don't know if I'm rambling again, because this session has been so beneficial for me and I'm taking in so much information. But if I find something that resonates with me, I do want to share it because I hope it speaks to someone else. But that's what I was saying. Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you so much. Yes. And all of you, thank you for like, this discussion is amazing. This is so real, you know, it's so like we're exploring this terrain together in real time and discovering what occurs to us, like what insights as we all are like, oh yeah, totally, like that and that. So thank you for speaking to that. Yeah.
Thank you.
I mean, look guys, like I know I talk about this all the time and it's probably annoying, but we're literally like programmed like pass fail, better, worse, good, bad. Right? Like sinner, saint. We're from the moment we arrive here, dichotomy, and one side of that is not okay. One side of that is rejection. One side of that is shame. One side of that is ostracism for a fucking reason to get us to fall in line and be good little worker bees and do what everybody wants us to do. Like, it is not a mystery. Like, it is clear as day. Just look at who benefits, right, from the fact that so many of us are conditioned to fall in line and not trust ourselves and trust everything else except ourselves. Like, not trying to sound like a conspiracy theorist, like, this is pretty, you know, it's like social anthropology 101 at this point. But it was hidden and cloaked for so long, and it's still hidden and cloaked in plain sight through cultural standards, norms, the egoic striving for success, money, prestige, ego, you know, like, so everybody wants the best for us. No, everybody wants the best for us based on where they're coming from in terms of what they interpret as being great and terrible, right? Like, approvable or rejectable. And so what you're saying, Layla, like, it obviously fires me up because there's like, it is rare just out there in the world. Like, it's can be rare to find those who are like, you know, trust yourself, see what happens, take your own path, you know, listen to your intuition, right? It's rare. And it's as though there's this like awaiting calamity. Like, we, you know, like, I don't know, because if I trust my intuition, my entire life I might be jeopardizing my entire life, and I might get it all wrong, and then I'm going to regret it for the rest of my life, and I'm going to be, you know, worst case scenario. And I'll, with some clients, and I may have done this with a few of you, is like following that thread of like, what's the worst that could happen? Like leaning into that fear and like really like, okay, so if you feel like you have an intuitive hit about something and you follow it, even though logically, like, there could be some consequences or it might be crazy, but if you follow it and it turns out to be wrong, then what's the worst that could happen? Like, really, what's the worst that could happen? What's the worst that could happen? And like tracing that down, usually it turns out that it's not that bad. And also usually it turns out that it's all made up in here. It's all like, the worst that could happen is like, I would feel stupid. People would judge me. I would feel ashamed. You know, sometimes there's real consequences. Like, I lost, you know, whatever, you know, in this investment or something. So I'm going to segue here a little bit and kind of talk, like, segue into, oh, hi, Blue. There's our intuition doggy. Oh, he's the mascot.
All over the place. I don't know what's wrong. He's just like,
you can feel the energy.
Okay. Hi, everybody. We got a haircut today.
So precious. Oh my gosh. Okay, so here's something that's really interesting when it comes to the way we relate with life. We tend, because we're conditioned this way, we tend to evaluate things on good or bad. Was that a good decision? Was that a bad decision? Did that work out? Did it not work out? And we tend to, like, first of all, immediately, like, assess, right? And then assess with some kind of an evaluative judgment of like, that was good, maybe it was neutral, or like, oh, that was freaking stupid, you know? So we evaluate, we judge evaluatively, and we do it pretty immediately, like in the pretty immediate term. So it doesn't occur to us that there could be a progression and a sequence of events playing out that may look cataclysmic in the moment, or may look like a terrible decision in the moment, or might be like, my intuition was wrong. Like, gosh, I can't trust my intuition in the like immediate sense of what's happening. However, time doesn't exist and things aren't linear. So we actually don't know, ostensibly, like, we can't know whether that thing is actually good or bad, or if it, you know, like, what the ultimate overall weight of that is. Like, maybe it was turned out great in the near term, but because of that, some other thing happened down the line and like was like a terrible thing, and so on and so forth. So such is the flow of life. And I think it's important to keep in mind that there's 2020 hindsight in a sense, but also if only if we're not looking forward and holding space for the possibility of the future. And so to add to that, part of this question around like, well, what is it? What is intuition? So Caprice, I'm about to answer some of your questions, give you some facts. all right, so on the most like biological definition, understanding of it, as Nicole was speaking to earlier, we are evolutionarily built to, we're very, very efficient, and a lot is happening on a non-conscious level. So there are things working behind the scenes, millions of things happening every minute in our bodies, neurons firing, blood vessels running all over the place, our hearts pumping, and our sensory system is constantly scanning, right? It's like our ears, our nose, like we're perfectly built for survival. So for our brain's efficiency, though, if we were to take in all that stimuli at once, A, it would be overwhelming and noisy, and it would all be noise. B, it would require a lot of energy, which aka a lot of caloric intake food, so that our brain could be firing on all cylinders all the time to be taking stuff in. So it's just not efficient for those operating patterns and systems to be active all the time into the conscious and to be letting us know all the time what it is all these like signals we're picking up on. So most of what's happening is 90 to 95% of what's going on in our situation, in our systems, is actually below our conscious perception. Like it's automatized. It's become so automatic. We're like picking up cues. We don't even realize, because our brains are doing it so efficiently and so quickly. So, and there have been tons and tons and tons of studies around this too. This is like essentially like how the study of like the optimization of the human being. So there's this very like biological, neurological thing happening where that intuitive hit or that nudge or that like spidey sense around something or that gut feeling around something quite often is our like parasympathetic nervous systems that are like keeping us on alert or bringing us down. The gut, and some of you probably may know this, the gut, so to speak. So the largest nerve in the human body is the vagus nerve, and it goes from below our belly button, all up our chest, up our throat, up our face and our heads. And the vagus nerve is our fight or flight nerve. It's the thing that when we see danger, like that's why we feel it all the way up, usually like anxiety, contractive, like, right, like kind of panicky, heart palpitations, like we get real like tense. We get ready to like run or hide or whatever. So that gut feeling is actually like, that is our system's tipping us off to something. Now, whether that thing is real or perceived is a different story. So anxiety, for example, like generalized anxiety registers here because what we're creating here, our subconscious mind doesn't know the difference between a real threat and a perceived threat because it's all happening in the same systems. So anyways, so that gut feeling, that intuitive hit around like stranger danger or like, I don't know, something's off here. Or conversely, wow, I feel really great here. I feel this is like, yeah, this is nice. That can be our system doing exactly what it's designed to do. So Deborah, yes, this like empowering piece that it is instinctual. It is, what was the other word? Natural. That we have the most incredibly dialed system in the known universe so far. So that is often what is going on, especially when it comes to specific stimuli or specific, even sometimes like specific simulations where we're like, should I do this thing or not do this thing? And like logically we're at a stalemate, or logically it might be like logic here, but our intuition is like, no, go over here, man. I'm telling you, it's way better. That could be our computational system, like computing things at such a complex caliber that our logical mind, which has this much access to our cerebral functioning, is like, but this A plus B equals C. And then meanwhile, our our non-conscious or unconscious mind is like, has access to like multi-billion, I don't know, like combinations of cellular firing per second, right? So it's like, nah, dude, trust me. Like it's this one. So a lot of this is like that before thought, that's what's going on. It's like literally happening before our linguistic, phonetic, computational prefrontal cortex can come online and say, making reason, making meaning, making judgment. The neocortex, prefrontal cortex, is our like the newest part of our brain, and it's what significantly kind of differentiates our situation from other animals. And there's really great aspects to that, obviously, but there's also like, man, does it get us in trouble? Like really big trouble. It's the part of our brain that gives us the ability to imagine and visualize and conceive of time, conceive of time outside of the present moment, the future, the past, right? The future and the past wouldn't mean anything to us if we weren't able to like visualize the like story of a future or a past, right? So that's really helpful if we're trying to predict where the herds of buffalo are going, but it's actually really unhelpful if what we're doing with it is we're just like inserting our stress stimuli constantly of like, don't get it wrong, you're gonna look like an idiot. Don't get it wrong, you're gonna look like an idiot. So that's all going on behind the scenes. And so if that's helpful in like trusting it more, I find that to be helpful in trusting it more. It's like, oh, well, I'm feeling this thing. So, you know, like I'm just going to kind of see how this plays out instead of arguing with it. Now we're also really trickable. So it is kind of a like, just to be completely honest, there are like cognitive distortions, cognitive fallacies, all kinds of ways that we misperceive things and make snap judgments that are absolutely inaccurate. Like, you know, eyewitness testimony out the window for similar reasons. So like, we really suck in one way at like computing information. But on the other hand, we can be quite good at that. And I think the nuance and the thing to play with is the feeling around it. Like how do I know, right? So the feeling around, it's a clarity. Like when Caprice was sharing earlier, she's like, I went back again and it felt great again. Boom. It just is, right? It is just a feeling. It is just a clear, like, yep, nope. And I think Nicole, one of you spoke to this earlier, or maybe it was Jazz, like learning to parse out the signal, it takes practice. We get to practice the muscle, just like with any art, right, or learning anything. Like music comes to mind, jazz, classical, like any kind of complex information. It's like, at first it's like, I don't know the difference between a major chord and a minor chord, which seems obvious as everything to me now, right? But like, I don't know. I didn't know when I didn't know. So I'll get to like how to, we're going to run experiments for the next month. And then the next call, we're going to do intuition part two, and we're going to come back and we're going to like jam out and talk about our, how it went for us. I actually have like an exercise for you. I'm going to send out an email tomorrow. So there's the biological component, but also, guys, I'm going to talk about some pretty crazy cool stuff right now that is also happening. So Jasmine said this so well earlier, that we are made of energy. We are energy, right? Everything is energy. It's crazy. And it vibrates itself somehow, vibrates itself into things. Like everything in the known world is, when we zoom in and we zoom in and we zoom in and we zoom in, there's nothing there. It's just polarities. It's wiggles. It's all wiggles, as Alan Watts says. And so that isn't separate from any part of itself either. So even though perceivably, like, me and my glass of water are two separate things, right? If we were to really, really zoom in and zoom in and zoom in and zoom in, and or if we were able to, like, we saw the energy but not the matter, we would see that the way that that energy is arranging itself and the way that my energy is arranging itself, there is an interaction happening. How subtle, how powerful, that's in the story. So in a sense, this energy is interconnected simultaneously throughout the universe. Everything in the universe is the same energy happening simultaneously in this ecosystem that we are told, like, again, we're told that things are separate, that there's no that we are a solo entity. We are an isolated being. You are an isolated being. This tree over here is an isolated being. And nothing in the universe, nothing gives any credence to that, that there are separate individual things. When we look at nature, what do we see? We see ecology. We see how every single thing on this planet exists in context of something else, exists in relationship to something else. There's literally no such thing as a thing isolated by itself, which means that there's this, like, invisible grid. It's visible because we see it as things, as humans, but there's this invisible energy all the time around us. I call it a grid, but it's not exactly a grid. And what quantum physics points to, and I'm very careful about sharing this because it can get really misinterpreted really quickly by, like, no offense, like, the New Age community. So I just, like, I try to stay as grounded as possible in this here, and I study a lot of it. So essentially quantum physics is the study of this, like, the interplay of the multi-infinitely dimensional universe with itself, and that things are not linear. We're no longer in, like, Newtonian physics. We're no longer like the apple fell from the tree and hit me on the head. It's like everything in the cosmos that had to happen for that apple tree to exist, for that apple to fall in my head. Like, so there's just always so much more at play. So where does intuition come from? Where does this information out of nowhere come from? Well, if we are energy, and that energy is part of all the rest of the energy, and we get the intuitive hits that really fascinate me are the ones that are, like, super out of nowhere without any context of what's going on. And then it, like, happens or it shows up, or, like, that stuff is my favorite. And so what science is finally corroborating with the wisdom teachings from thousands of years ago is this interconnected information highway that we can learn to listen to. It's flowing through us. It's part of us. It's part of our place in the universe, because it is us. And so when we can learn how to slow down and start to tease it apart and hear it more clearly, the information it's not random. It's like, it's available to us as an actual source of information, but we just can't, like, conceive of how we could know this thing when, you know, there's no logical explanation for it. So this is, I don't know, it's really cool to know this too. in a sense, like for me, it's empowering to know that we can and do have access to information, wisdom, intuition without needing the logical source for it necessarily. I think, and so not to poo-poo on the prefrontal cortex too much, look, like rational critical thinking is also a huge value of mine, so I'm not trying to like, definitely not trying to just cast that out. but the fact that like we don't necessarily have to have a logical source for the information to be accurate, I think is really like, that's really helpful for me when I get downloads. I mean, I've been following my intuition my entire life, and like things that people are like, what are you doing? Like, what did your intuition tell you to do? That have been the best decisions I've ever made. I was just like, no, this is real clear. I don't know what's going on. I'm going to fall. Like me living in Yalapa, like what the, you know, like I couldn't have planned this. I was just listening to a series of like nudges and hits, literally. So not needing a reason behind it. Like I'm willing to, and this is what I'm going to, part of what the invitation for this next like experiment for the next month is, being more willing to listen to it with the possibility of getting it wrong, right? Like let's just go ahead and cast out this idea of right or wrong out the window, because honestly, how do you even define and determine that, right? Like we can't, there's no, it's a concept, it's conceptual. So being more willing to experiment with it is how we learn the nuances of the instrument and the nuances of the information. So when we have a feeling that, and it's fine to check in with like, am I being a judgy Susan right now? Is this my programming, right? Is this my scarcity mindset? Or is this my, you know, my mom's whatever family story? It's great to check in and kind of check ourselves before we wreck ourselves. Like that's a very important part of this process. So if there is like some kind of consequence that could be, you know, but really though, run the experiment. And that's I think Jazz spoke to this earlier, or somebody did, like we also don't do data collection around this, right? We're not like running computations of like, today I followed my intuition in this scenario, now let's log that and see how that plays out in 1 day, 1 week, and 1 year, you know, like we don't track the data. And so the logical mind loves that because it's like, show me the proof. Like, nope, there's no evidence here. So this doesn't make any sense. So for the next month, and I'm going to start segueing out here because we're just about the end. I'm gonna give you ladies, and also in addition to the conversation that's been so valuable, I think, and insightful, there are things that are really helpful for amplifying intuition or removing the blocks that keep us from hearing it. Because Deborah was right, like, yes, it's always happening. It's just how well are we listening to it? So there are things that are really helpful and conducive, and then there are things that are like muffle it like pretty significantly and stifle it. So I'm just going to run through these real quick here. Amplifiers. So these are things that help us notice it more, tune into it better, tease apart those like, is it intuition or is it judgy Susan? Slowing down, right? So Caprice, earlier you were asking like, is there a way to create a safe space? Absolutely. And this is what mindfulness practice, meditation, awareness practice, intentional 10 to 20 minutes, at least in the morning, preferably. But the more we can train, in a sense, like create that space and train our brains to slow down, the more of a chance we're going to have, or the more of an opportunity we're giving ourselves in the moment when something is like happening in real time, if we're not practicing the muscle of being able to separate from our thoughts or like become observing of our thoughts, then it's going to probably be difficult to think objectively. So that's just one of the gajillion benefits of slowing down and becoming more aware of our thinking, is that it works. Like the more we do that, the more we find ourselves in the moment being able to, let me just see here, instead of like react. So listening, and I love this one. This has been an activity I've been trying on a lot, is listening versus searching. So like, am I trying to find an answer to something? Am I trying to like, well, should I do this or should I do that? Like, you know, searching has this like kind of spotlight, whereas listening has this like, I don't know, like a satellite dish or something, like it's a receiving, right? So kind of checking in with, am I like searching for the answer or am I listening for the answer? Sensation awareness practice. So tonight we talked a lot about like, we can feel it. There's some kind of a like, some kind of a physical sense. So again, just kind of practicing that in general, like how am I feeling right now? Kind of doing a body scan. It's great to do it with things that were a really clear yes or a really clear no about. So this is part of like the authentic yes, authentic no training that we did a while back, but you know, just conjuring to mind something that is like, I know is a no, like hell no for me, like animal abuse, for example. I'm like, that right now, I'm already feeling a certain way about that. So knowing and like feeling how my body feels when something is a no for me, and then on the other hand, like conjuring something that's a yes for me, like my precious doggies, right? And just like feeling how my body feels when I try those different things on, I start to build a vocabulary of, oh, my body's feeling this way, like what's going on in this moment? Or like, my body's feeling this way, like what's going on? So paying attention to the signals from our body. Recognizing intuition when it does happen. So like, oh, I just got this, I have no idea where it came from, but I got this intuitive thing hit. I'm gonna like make note of that. I'm just kind of like check in right now. You know, I'm gonna like hit the pause button or like that slow motion button on my VCR. And just like, acknowledge it for what it is. That's also a great thing. Setting an intention. So who would have thought? Setting an intention, like I am open to receiving and listening and hearing my intuition more often. I am open to guidance from sources of information that are not logical. So just like affirming to ourselves that we want more of this and we want more clarity with it. Our subconscious mind is like, cool, I'm going to carry out those orders. Great, let's do it. And then trying this out in like new experiences and new environments is helpful, because that's usually where we like the novelty of it. We feel more feelings when we're in new places around new things. We're like, So just kind of even sitting in a park square in a new part of town, or traveling, or going to a different dance class, whatever, and just noticing that new stimuli and how we're interacting with it. So it's a lot of self-awareness. And then in terms of things that muffle intuition or mute intuition, and I'm just going to cruise through these quickly. Having a busy mind, judgmental mind, repeatedly not acting on intuition. So just ignoring it. Our subconscious mind is like, oh, cool, we don't need that information. Cutting it off. Ego. So self-importance. So if we're thinking that we are so important that we know better than this information, we'll see. Addiction to needing control and perfectionism. So that, yeah, kind of speaks for itself. Shoulds and preconceived judgments really get in the way. So if there's like And we, and this came up a lot tonight, right? Like the logical preconceived judgments are like, well, but I should do this. And I mean, yeah, that's a troublemaker. Shaky or low self-trust or insecurity. That's the one that fucked me up a lot. Like, quite frankly, for like, in really unfortunate ways for a while. I was really not strong in myself for a couple of phases of my life, and some really manipulative people took advantage of that. And like, woo, was that a ride? So yeah, self-trust, insecurity. So trusting ourselves even when we get it wrong, right? Like, I'm going to trust myself even if it turns out that like, this was so ridiculous, I'm still going to choose myself over, most people, I think. Pedestalizing and comparison. So like, you know, kind of a different flavor to a similar thing. Following a script just for the sake of safety and following the script. Like, oh, well, I can't break out of this. Like, GPS says go left. I better go left, even though I know the store is over there on the right. I can see it. Anxiety. So these are things that really get in the way of intuition. Anxiety, codependency, scarcity, fear, fatigue, and shame. So those are like energetically in our bodies. We're in survival mode. We're so wound up in our experience, especially with like anxiety, fear, fatigue, shame, all those actually. Like, we're so in our preoccupied with those things that were like intuition. We're like, I don't know about you, you're scary, get out of here. So those are going to be your like kind of filters that you can listen and explore and experiment through. I'm going to send this out tomorrow. And this is really cool stuff. Like, it actually really works in terms of helping us to better know our signals and just get a clearer sense of what is intuition, and, you know, just all of the questions that we've been having throughout the call. We get to practice it. We get to kind of learn the dance with it and trust it, and like not be hard on ourselves when it turns out that maybe it wasn't the way we thought it should go. So let me see if there's anything else here. So the exercise I'm going to send out is something that Ashley and I have actually been pilot testing for 2 weeks. We wanted to try it out, or I wanted to try it out before actually like giving it to the group. And it's amazing. And I'm already noticing like really cool stuff. So we're calling it the surrender experiment. And it came up because Ashley was sharing with me in one of our sessions that she was just like, she was really feeling like she should be doing all this stuff. She should be farther ahead than she is with her coaching business and her clients, like all of this like mental noise and pressure she was putting on herself that was exhausting her. Like, it was, she's like, I'm overwhelmed and then I don't do anything. And I'm like, I feel you. I know that feeling. And so I was like, okay, I'm going to give you a friendly challenge. I may have triple dog dared her. And I said, let's run a surrender experiment. I'll do it with you. And this way we can actually collect data around this, right? Because otherwise it's all speculation and we never actually can like know whether or not our logical mind is right or whatever. So what it is it's a 2x6 grid, and it's a way to check in with whatever the thing is. Is it something that I feel like I should do, something I feel like I can do, something I need to do, something I don't want to do, something I don't need to do, or something that is calling that I want to do, something that I'm feeling guided to do in the moment. And really focusing on that what we're feeling like doing in the moment. What we're feeling guided to do. Maybe it's like, well, I don't really feel like doing the dishes right now. I feel like reading my book or whatever. And like not overanalyzing everything and like, oh, but I should do all these things. So we've, both of us have been checking in with like kind of looking at that, especially around stuff that we're like, oh gosh, like look at this list, and just going with this, like I'm gonna do what I feel guided to do and see how that plays out. And it's, both of us are like, oh my God, this is so much better. What were we doing? And it turns out stuff still gets done. Like the stuff that we need to get done, it's like later we do it. It works out. So I'll send that out to you guys as well. And I encourage you to try it on. Like stop second guessing yourselves. Let the logical mind do whatever it's doing, but you don't have to believe it. And then we'll check back in a month and we'll have some fun like sharing examples with each other. Sound good? Cool. All right. We are over time. Thank you for all staying to the end. You're the best. I'm here to listen to takeaways or take questions or insights, but I also realize that it's super late, especially on the East Coast. So who needs to hop off or who's going to hop off? Oh, who wants to stay and share a takeaway or a question? You guys, you're the best. Awesome. All right, let's do it. Who wants to go first? I'm going to popcorn you.
I'll go.
Thank you.
Well, thank you first, everyone, for tonight. It was really beautiful. I Nicole, when you're like, I box things. my box is around, like I have been following intuition. It's just not the path that I thought that I would be on or the way that I would be navigating. And, that my intuition is my noticing, because my noticing is my awareness and my awareness is my presence. So that self-trust is really important, because if I can just, continue to hold that anchor of trust in my noticing, then I'll probably notice that I've been listening to intuition. It just isn't necessarily what my mind thought the path would be, which is okay.
Wow.
Takeaway.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. Great noticing, Jess. Yeah. And you know, it just occurred to me quickly while you were sharing that, I'm like, is self-trust even necessary, or is it more about like not having any conditions on it? Like, I'm going to listen to my intuition, right? It's like, we need to trust if there's some kind of thing around it. So that's going to be my ponderable. Yeah. Choosing that. Thanks, Jess. Who's next? Caprice, thank you.
So that explanation of intuition and saying that there's so many things happening that our brain or our logic system would be overwhelmed if all the information would, if we were aware of everything that's happening right now, if it kind of fed it was like such a great explanation. It was like I was eating a delicious cake and I was really hungry, and yeah, it was really, really good. Yeah.
Wonderful. So it's helpful in the like understanding it more.
Yeah, it was great. It was perfect. Yeah.
Wonderful. Delicious cake. That sounds good. Thank you, Caprice. And was the like creating a safe space, like that space that you can go into Did you have any questions about that? I wanted to make sure that I did speak to that question.
I just need to find what's like the trigger. Like, mm-hmm. Okay,
yeah.
This is the right moment. Now I need to take some time.
Exactly.
And I just need to figure out what time is it? What do I feel? What's the
yeah,
go there. You but yeah, it was helpful.
Yep, you got it. Exactly. And again, practicing awareness, practicing the mindfulness meditation, and then also breathing. Like breathing can help to slow things down, like getting back into our body. And that can help us to like think more objectively because it's calming down the fight or flight. So yeah. Thank you.
Thank you.
Who else?
Go ahead, Mia.
I love your dog. So cute. I love what you said about listening for the answer instead of searching. I just love that word. I'd never thought of it like that, you know, listening. When you said that, it felt like a space opened up, you know, like a space for the answers to come in. Because like when you're searching, it's always this like grabbing and this action of trying to get. And it feels like that action is always difficult. You know, it's always, everything is always eluding you, you know, or me, me. So yeah, like I really want to tune into that more. Going this month and see what happens when I listen instead of search. Thank you for that.
Yeah, beautiful. That was a really helpful one for me too. Like being in a receiving space, like I wonder what I should do in this situation, right? But like instead of like trying to like figure it out, just like listening for it. Yeah, I'm so glad that resonated. Right. Who else? No, Deborah, you were gonna go.
Yes, three things. One is the first two are not related to the, okay, let me just say it. So I remember that moment when I decided to get blue. Like you and I were on the call, we were talking. And so it was this immediate knowing and it was like, what are you waiting for? Like, it was like all these beautiful thoughts were coming through my mind. It's like, and so like, what a wonderful feeling. And I've had lots of those moments since working. That was early on in our relationship, right? And so, which leads me to my second point, is that I've just been feeling so sad for people who are not on this journey. Mm-hmm. And it's like, how do you, right? It's like, you want more people to have what you have. And it's like, but they have to come to it in their own way. And so I just wish there was a way we could just give it away. But that's what I'm feeling. And then the third piece is around me feeling, what about the times I've been wrong? Like that was like a big piece in my brain. And you said it early on, probably like halfway through the call, immediately beneficial. And so what it reminded me of is that just because it didn't seem like following my intuition was the right thing in that moment, like if you follow it all the way out, then what was it really like? And I don't have that answer, but it sounds like through this exercise, we get to start exploring that. And so, I mean, it just like took away all my fears, like, oh my God, like it can't be wrong following it. And then I just get to just wait and see what happens after, even if it doesn't seem like it right away. So I just love this path we're on. Thank you.
So beautiful. Thanks, Deborah. I'm so glad that resonated. It really does. It's like, oh yeah, how could I know? Like right or wrong. At what point do we like draw that line, you know, and like judge it? Yeah. And I also want to reassure you, but let you know, Deborah, that you're already, by being on this journey, being on the path, others who are not on it, just by being around you, like your energy is already connected in ways we can never even fathom that are helping others to wake up as well. And I don't mean that in like hyperbolic way. I truly know that to be happening in this world right now. So
Beautiful, beautiful.
All right, who's next?
I'm trying to figure out which gems I really should pull from the treasure chest to share.
Oh, well, don't hold back.
Well, hell, we'll be on here another hour. So I'm over here like, which one of these? Animated Nicole, here we go again. The biggest one I think like I've heard across that like is so dope is just remembering that it's always for our greatest and highest good. Like that's going to be one of my things is remember like intuition, thought, whatever, like I believe this is for my greatest and highest good. So I'm going to go with that. The no proof or evidence, I think is just really key. And I love what Mia brought up and making that connection. It's like the faith, like God, right? If I believe in something greater than myself and I can't explain that, then why am I trying to have proof and evidence of this inner knowing inner self? It's a direct connection line to that. So I really appreciate the reminder of that. I love just the amplifiers. I love the one too around the listening versus searching. And I saw myself in meditation actually seeing myself as an antenna. So I thought of automatically like the old school radio, right? If I'm an antenna, I'm just receiving what's coming in. I don't really care what station I'm on. But if I'm searching, I'm trying to find the perfect station, song, whatever, right? So I'm just like, I'm going to be open to receive as an antenna. I'm just letting it all come in. And I love the whole idea of just the experimentation. Like it, this didn't necessarily come up, but the fun that this really can be. And I know that's part of your whole, you know, mantra, but like this actually can be fun. Like experimenting, figuring out what works for me and what's the hit and not the hit. And oh, that didn't work. Like literally I visualize myself like in a little lab of intuition and thought like, let me just add a little something of this and see what happens, you know, like, so the more I think of this as fun and play and like part of the experience, the happier and more excited I am to leverage it. And then lastly, what I added to the amplifiers was grace. Like giving myself that grace allows those things to continue to happen and knowing that it is okay and giving myself that space to just try again. So I think those are some of the main ones. Oh, one last one. One for me in particular that I am going to use as far as the processing of logic is asking myself, is the resistance tied to a previous trauma? Mm-hmm. Like literally asking myself, is it tied to a previous trauma? Because I believe that that will tell me automatically yes, and I'll be able to get the memory or the experience that said it was because mom or dad or supervisor or whatever that allows me to stay on course. So that was just something I picked up personally for myself to ask myself as part of this process. So thank you.
For you. Oh my
and thank
gosh.
You so much. I'm so happy to meet everybody. And I'm so appreciative for all the shares and experience. I just got so many notes and so many downloads. You're all so amazing and beautiful. And I just really appreciate being part of this with you. So thank you so much.
Thank you, Nicole. Thanks for being here. Oh my gosh, so fun having you in the group. Yeah. Let's see, who else share one? Layla, you haven't shared yet.
Yeah, I've been wanting to raise my hand so many times, but at the same time, I'm like, oh my God, I'm taking in so much information. And it's really overwhelming because so much of it resonates with me. But then the more I hear about everyone's personal stories and the things that you share, Fawn, about intuition, it's like I realize how much I am not in tune with it. And it's a journey. You know, it's a journey. It's individual. It's our own. Every person's journey is their own. But this was a very almost overwhelming session because I just took in so much information that resonated with me and I didn't realize that I needed to hear it. And I don't know where to go from here. But I did write a little list of takeaways. Is that when it comes to your intuition, is not everybody's gonna like you.
Yeah.
Sorry, I saw your responses and oh my gosh. but not everyone's going to like you. Not everyone's going to support you. And even if it's coming from a good place, it's coming from a place to protect yourself. And also, you know, you don't mean any harm if you have to take action based off of your intuition, right? Like, is it's just so important to like just be in tune with who you are and like and love your. In times like that, is I try to think of myself as a child, right? And when I think of it that way, I'm so much more protective over myself.
Yeah.
Does that make so? Yeah. So, and it makes it easier when I think about it that way, because a lot of the intuition that I have now ties into things that I felt when I was younger. I think especially when I was younger, I listened to a lot of people that were telling me things that were very different than how I felt, whether it was like the girls I went to school with, or even like cultural pressure, or being one of the few people in my culture at my school, or like, bosses that, or getting weird grades in school and your teachers, you know, what your teachers were saying. But as now when I think about it, I think about, okay, I have to tune out the outside noise, and in situations I'm either winning or I'm learning something. Okay. It's not a failure. I'm learning something from it. And when I think through it, think of things in that lens, I tend to be more forgiving of myself and just continue to move forward. And I think intuition really is, for myself, is a conversation that I have with myself. And if I feel something that's off-putting, if I feel something weird, especially if I have time to think about it, it's so important. If I have time to think about it, I have to ask myself why. And then after that answer, I ask myself why again. And then I ask myself why again. And I ask myself why again. Because I learn where that's coming from. Because sometimes if I have a weird feeling, it's my own issue, right? Where I'm like, or if I have a weird feeling, this person is a threat to other people around me or even children. And that really gets me. So I think, especially with me, I struggle with being in tune with my intuition. It's really, 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 really important to ask myself why over and over again. So I really know where it's coming from, and I'm not projecting my own issues onto other people that might not, or situations. It doesn't have to be directed towards people, but situations where people don't mean any harm, and I'm misreading it because I have an issue that's tied back to my childhood, or maybe there is an issue, but that person's doing, so it's not always on me, but it's, you know, maybe that person is a threat to myself or other people around it, and the understanding is where it starts. So when it happens in an instant, I'm hoping that I can trust my intuition. I don't want to be irrational in those situations. Those situations are the most important to be, you know, in tune with yourself. I think part of the reason why I like leaving the country is, I live primarily outside of the US, but when I do, one of the benefits is I talk to myself more often. Mm. I'm not around the pressures of my hometown, which I have a beautiful hometown, but there's a lot of, I'm around a lot of people that tell me what I should and shouldn't do, or the career path I should take. It's always around me. It's constant. You know, all my family lives like 10 miles away from each other. You know, all my friends, we all grew up together. A lot of us stay here. It's all kinds of stuff. And it's important for me to be in touch with myself, and leaving the country, it's not the only reason why I live in the country, but a benefit of it is like I'm in nature. I'm in tune with what's around me, and I definitely try to take advantage of that time because I'm around, I feel like less like mental noise for myself and be more in tune with myself and what my intuition is saying. I'm sorry. My takeaway is really long. I'm so sorry, but I really appreciate you guys listening, and I feel your energy while you're listening to me. So I really appreciate it, guys. Thank you for letting me elaborate a little bit. This is a lot for me to take. So I really enjoyed this today. I always do. Fawn, thank you. And thank you to everybody too for sharing your insight, because I took a lot away from it and I have a lot to run with. Thank you, guys.
Oh, thank you. Beautiful. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Mm. Thank you, guys. Yeah.
Amazing. Amazing, amazing. Mm-hmm. Oh, anybody else? Final words, takeaways? I've lost track at this point. My brain is like, okay. Well, everybody. Oh, so it occurred to me at the last ending note here. Something that came through loud and clear for me a couple of months ago when I was like really, really exploring like holy shit, intuition. Like every time I've trusted myself or listened to my intuition, regardless of what people said, like every single time it was on point. Like not in this like, oh, I'm better, I got it right, but like, holy moly, that's incredible. Like, and also, no wonder I felt so misunderstood for so much of my growing up. Like, everybody's programmed and conditioned, and, like, I was just not part of that situation playing out. I was like, what are you guys drinking? So I was in this meditation, and I got this download. Listen, flow, and choose what feels true above all else. And I have this, like, picture of a tree around it that just came to me. It was like, choose what feels true above all else. Doesn't matter if it's logical or not. So play with that in whatever version works for you, resonates with you. I'll have some cool resources out to you tomorrow. And this was amazing. Thank you all so much for being here. Truly, truly so deep. And we'll do it again in a month. Awesome.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.
Good
night, everyone.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy holidays.
Happy holidays.
Bye.